Welcome back to Good Moms, Bad Choices. I'm Erica.
And I'm Mila.
Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday, world.
It's the first week of February. Welcome to February.
Thank you for this beautiful welcome.
Yes.
It's Black History Month.
It is.
Even though every day is Black History Month when you're black.
This is a fact.
Let's welcome all the white people.
This month we are focusing on self-love. The theme is Love Thyself February. So welcome to this month's theme. I'm really excited and I just want to get straight into
it.
Because we have an incredible guest today. We have none other than holistic expert, wellness expert, best-selling author, just overall amazing, incredible woman, Queen Afua.
I am so happy to be here with you both. Thank you. I feel like I've known you for a few lifetimes, actually. That's why I'm laughing. So I know them. I know their spirit.
It just feels very familiar.
Yeah. She called her daughter, like, and she was like, I just have to call my daughter because it feels like she's here. And I was like, I'll be your daughter.
Do you need a West Coast daughter?
If your daughter ever messes up, I'm here, queen, okay?
If you ever miss her and you are not in New York, we are here for you.
Thank you.
You know what? I manifested this a very long time ago. You know, I see you on the timeline. I see you working with, like, amazing women like Erica Badu. You've done so much work, you know, and I've followed it here and there. And I was like, one day she's going to come on our show. So finally, when it aligned, it feels so good to have you here. And, like, honestly, to be honest, me and Erica were super nervous.
Very.
This is how nervous looks. You're fabulous. You're fabulously nervous then.
Yeah, we got your book, The Sacred Woman, and I was like, I don't think I'm gonna be able to finish this in time to meet Queen. I was like, oh no. What am I gonna do? She's gonna know. And I'm like, no,
living it already. That's why you're relating to, because you said, oh, okay, that feels familiar. Oh, wait a minute. My aunt, my mother, you know, you start to see your family because I connected to you as I was writing. I remember your mother, your grandma, because it's the energy of our culture, and that's the unity. So that book is not for you to get stressed out about.
I wasn't stressed. I mean, I was more so just like, wow, I should have gotten it a long time ago.
Well, this is the right time for you to have it.
Okay. I received that. Okay. I'm going to release all anxieties. Anxiety is gone. Queen is here. She told me it's okay.
Everything's in divine timing. That's it. Right in alignment. Mm-hmm. When you're ready. I think now we're ready to receive the information.
I have so many questions, but really I'm just really curious about, you know, your journey to Queen Afua and
what? I was just letting our listeners to know we're referencing this book. She's written many books, but the book that we're referencing is The Sacred Woman, what has been called the women's Bible of our time, in case you are not familiar. So if you're listening and you're wondering, what are they talking about? That is what we were talking about.
It is, yes. And we will link it here in the episode description so you can check it out. But yeah, what has been your journey in becoming a sacred woman? I mean, I know that, like, we all are sacred women, but I think a lot of times we can't identify that within ourselves, or we don't even really know what exactly that means. Mm-hmm. So how did you come to this?
How did I come to that? Well, it's innate. I'm coming out of the 60s. So the whole movement of freedom and liberation and Angela Davis and the great ones of our time, they came out of the 60s. They were the revolutionaries. And inside of that, there was a love of culture, a love of holistic healing on different levels. And during that time, I was very sick. You know, as a teenager, I had PMS chronic. I had eczema from head to toe. I had arthritis. I had asthma. So I was really looking for my healing. Mm. And it's my healing that brought me to the culture. I remember being in my mother's kitchen and having fish on Friday. And I wasn't vegetarian then. Mm-hmm. But I heard this drum playing. And I stopped. I said, where is that? I ran out of my family's home, ran to where the drum was playing, and this was drummer playing by himself. He was just drumming. And I stood, I was spellbound, and I felt my culture. Mm-hmm. It's like no matter what we've gone through, it's still there. It's still in us. Mm-hmm. And so I just stayed with the drum, and then I became a dancer. It was all in that same zone. So I studied Haitian dance, Brazilian dance, African traditional dance. And it just kept healing me. The movement was the medicine. And it just went. And I went to the Metropolitan Opera with a dance that was done. And it was from Kemet, based on Kemetic teachings. So dance and medicine and holistic and culture, it led me. But when writing the second one book, it pulled me all the way in, because I said, okay, in talking about the sacred woman is the woman who's connected to the divine, who's conscious that she is connected to the divine spirit. That could be Olodumare, Jah, Jehovah, the Most High, all the spiritual names for the one divine that is moving and inspiring us to be who we are. So in that process of the growth and the healing, I was saying, so now where did aromatherapy come from? African natural lifestyle. Where did Reiki come from? African natural lifestyle. Where did color therapy and astrology come from? African natural lifestyle. Where did fasting and hydro and healing baths and meditation and yoga, all that was considered New Age, is all African natural lifestyle stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it just led me back to having a greater love for our stuff, which is what holistic medicine is based on, our culture, our way. And so the deeper I go into our way, the more connected I feel to what civilization started out as, the first mothers. We were the original healers.
You're from New York, right? Mm-hmm. So it sounds like even as a young girl, you had this, your mind and your ear was open to this voice that kind of was guiding you.
Absolutely.
And what a blessing, because I do feel like children have this voice. And it's somewhere along the way, you know, the voice gets lower and lower and lower and lower, and then we can't hear it anymore. And then sometimes, whether it's something that happens in your life and you have this awakening, or sometimes it never happens. And so I'm thinking of you, I'm imagining you as like a young teenager, like listening to this drum and having this calling. Mila was telling me, she's like, I was listening to an interview with Queen, and she was saying how you were sick as a young, in your youth, and that you went on this retreat that really kind of helped you
change
your life when it comes to eating. And even on our retreats, you know, we do women's retreats and we've done them exclusively in Costa Rica as of now. And one of the things that I always find so alarming is the food element of the retreat. So it's very intentional. It's very clean. It's basically farm to table. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these women struggle. They struggle with it. No matter how nourishing the food is, how filling the food is, their body literally rejects it.
Because they've been raised from generation to generation, fast food, junk food, grab and go, high level of meat intake. Well, it's actually a plantation diet also.
Mm-hmm.
So hundreds of years of one way, from grandmother to daughter to daughter to daughter to daughter, it's a habit. But it's a habit that we must break, because with that habit, we have the diabetes, the high blood pressure, the fibroid tumors, the cysts, the stress, all of that. It's primarily what we're eating, what's eating at us. It's all connected.
And there's so much judgment around eating healthy, which I think it's so ironic when I am not the healthiest person. I do go in and out. I've been vegan before. I've been vegetarian. I kind of like fluctuate. I'm on the spectrum all the time. But I know that when I really am trying to be my healthiest self, is when I get the most like pushback from my friends. They're like, "Oh, you're doing that again. Oh, you're so healthy." I'm like, "Yeah, like why is this a bad thing that I want to be healthy?"
So funny, as one of your friends, because you the week you choose to be clean, you be judging everybody else. Should be clean for 1 week, like, "Oh, you don't want to eat vegetables." Oh my girl, we were just eating the same. I think that's maybe where you get the pushback, girl.
That's the pushback.
I think it's your judgment on everybody.
I don't know. I think that
she did this to me last night. I was like, "Do I want?"
I think generally I eat pretty healthy most of the time. And whenever I like, "Can we like not eat it? Can we not eat here? Can we try it?" They're like, "Okay, well." But I just find, and it's not just with me, I just find in general, like even going on these retreats, like when we do these retreats, a lot of the women are like, "There's no chips." Like,
there's alternatives.
There's no this, no, there's that.
Well, you can get the See, we
chipped. Or like, I'm still hungry. And I'm like, girl, you done ate like a whole fillet of a chicken. Okay. Like, you need to ask yourself, why are you still hungry? Like, what is...
Well,
what
you have to prepare them. You just, what happens, they come on a retreat and all of a sudden their life is changing. You mean, really? But where is... They want their comfort foods. That's the fun. Mm. That's recreation. Food is recreation. So you actually have to build them up to come on your retreats if you try and change their lifestyle so that it's not such a
jarring.
Oh my gosh. It's like my whole life is based around food and now you're taking the food away from me. No, I'm giving you love. I'm showing you love. So it's having compassion and mercy and just taking someone through their transition.
You kind of live your life, like your lifestyle is detox, essentially. Like you have this detox lifestyle.
It's detox everything.
Yeah.
Detox the house. Detox relationships, attitudes, my own thoughts. I know when detoxing came because I had to heal myself. Mm. And I use foods. I use healing baths. I use water therapy. So I use all of that. That's a part of the detox. But also my thinking. Mm. Some thinking that I had to let go of, you know. You know, and when I think about single mothers, I had to detox some thoughts from that too.
Which ones were those?
That I said, we're not divorced. We're going through transformation. That shifts the relationship with your children, with yourself. Because when I think about, okay, we're going to divorce. You know what divorce looks like? Cut the sofa in half. Cut the children in half. Your energy, the words, the stress level, the aloneness of the divorce, as opposed to saying, I'm going through a transformation. Mm. And I am letting go of a part of me that needs to pass away. Mm-hmm. And I'm embracing something better and greater in my life. So that helped me to really say, and then the single parent, you don't just raise your child by yourself. Your children are raised by a community, whether you know it or not. It could be your best girlfriend. It could be an uncle, a cousin, the grandmother.
School.
The school. You have to just tap into everything so you don't feel like isolated or single or by myself or I have to do it all. And that becomes a problem because I remember one sister said, all the daughters upset with their mothers. They're angry at their mothers. You know why? Because the mothers take all the brunt. The mother was never designed to do 100%.
I love that. I love that. I think that we take that on so much. Like society puts it on us, and that's the expectation.
And then we eat it.
A lot of times our spouses or our partners put it on us. Well, you're the mother. Well, what do you mean? You're the mom. And then you hold this guilt that if I don't perform at this level, and I hate that because it really takes away it takes away the individuality and like and a lot of times the purpose that women hold. And I've gotten into like spats with women about that. Like it goes both ways. Like women are like, yeah, like maybe my only purpose isn't just to be a mother. Like I have things outside of that. We're multifaceted. But because I posted something about this recently, and then there's also on the other side women who are like, why are you making it seem like it's not okay to just want to be a mother and a wife? And it's not neither, you know, if some people, that's just your purpose to be a mother and a wife. But for many women, it's your purpose. You could do that and do other things.
I don't believe that's any woman's sole purpose. I think that,
I mean, there's women who will
integrate.
I think that women that feel that way. And I'm not just like, it's not to say that you can't be those things and be the best at them, but I would encourage you to also explore other facets of your being outside of motherhood. Like you're not a bad mom or like you don't have a real job unless if you're not being a mother or you're not at home. I think that's why they carry that burden because they're stay-at-home moms and they feel there's like a level of kind of like guilt or privilege they feel guilty about. And so they're like, no, this is a job. And it's like, we know it's a job.
Well, I think that it's just like a combination of things. It's like when the whole world tells you that, like, you're going to grow up when, you know, you're a little girl and they give you a kitchen set, you know, and they give you a little baby, you're like, yeah. You know, and you're walking around with your stroller as a 3-year-old. It's like training, you know, to be like, this is your purpose in life. And for some of us, that's one of our purposes. I think it is triggering for some women when other women say, like, this may be not your whole purpose. It's because we've been brainwashed to believe that our entire existence is contingent about having a partner and having a baby and tending to that household. And I think we were talking about this before the show started, is that that's why sometimes often if you, those relationships with your child's father doesn't work out, you feel this immense level of responsibility and disappointment if it doesn't work. And men don't generally feel that same level of disappointment. And it, you know, it's just like a, I think it's really important for women to take a moment to hear your own voice and say, is this all that my purpose is? Mm-hmm. Is there more to me? Are there more things that I feel passionate about? But when you have been told over and over and over again, if this is successful, this is your level of success, and then you hit that, and then some other woman is like, no, you're going to be defensive in that. It's going to be hard for you to get past, actually, maybe there is something further and deeper. And, you know, so it's always interesting to me to, for women particularly, to, like, be upset about that idea. But I think it's because maybe they feel like, damn, I got God. I might have got God believing that this is my only sole purpose. You know, it's triggering if someone like says, you could be doing more, but you're not. Or maybe you have more of a gift to offer people. And a lot of times we don't even realize that our gifts, even within our families and our communities, is not necessarily you have to be like strap your boots up and go to work and clock in or be the CEO. You know, like there's so many.
It's called balance.
Yeah.
You know, it's having a family. That's the, and I couldn't figure it out to separate. So I was extreme. I would put motherhood into my work. So mothering and work, I mothered my children. I mothered my work. I mothered the community. There's a lot of nurturing that went out. Mm. I said to the mothers, mother you. If you can actually mother yourself, you will take do all the self-care and you get into your balance. And you'll also discover that there's other parts of you. Mm. And that's when you do... You start your own business, or you write your book, or you create a product. And the family, what in raising through the 60s, the cultural thought was that it's a family business. That's what you're doing. And you nurture that, and you bring your family into whatever that is. And so the family grows from the business. Like in African culture, there would be the family of the musicians. The family of the educators. So this is the family working together. So it was never just the mother alone anyway. It was always. And so when mothers say, I'm by myself, don't affirm those words. Mm-mm. There's no one else out there. I mean, just your story alone is amazing. That your daughters, well, first of all, you have daughters. And the daughters are almost the same age. And you were looking for each other to help. And I remember back in the day, I said, well, I created a co-op, a mother co-op. It was five mothers, and each of us had a day. And we took all five. You had two. One had one. Well, whoever that was, if my day is Monday, I have activities. Bring all the children with me on Monday.
So everyone has a moment.
So everyone had their time. So you have a few days that you can have to yourself to grow and develop yourself so you won't be an angry mother.
Mm-hmm. It's so important.
You know, you'll be at peace because a lot of times mothers taking out on their children whatever is happening with their mates or whatever's not happening with their with the fathers. And so we have a lot of healing and balancing to do to be a mother, to mother your children properly, to mother your purpose and all of that. Mothering, it's work, you know, but it's self-work and it's worth it. It just takes you to a higher level when you start to unravel and grow. Me and my daughter is a mother-daughter growth. It's a mother, and actually, she's raising me. Now she's, you know, the circle of life. She says, okay, Monica, you got to be up to date with stuff. And so now she's doing a lot of mothering.
But amazing that you are able to receive that mothering. I think, especially like in the Black community, especially like for my mom, like it's been a long journey to recognize that. We have a lesson for each other, you know?
Yeah, it's not one-sided.
It's not one-sided, and I see that, and like... I read something about you saying that not only like having a tribe, but raising your sons and like raising your kids amongst healed people and healthy people. And like, you know, that's an important part about raising your vibration and making sure your community is vibrating at the same level is so that, you know, like even when I met Erica, like rapid healing began because we, you know, not even realizing made this commitment to like speak honestly. And that was medicine, you know, just verbally releasing the anger and the the things that like we were feeling going through those experiences. And like now that I hear you talk about it, I think back to like my grandmother and my mom, and I felt her anger. I felt her sadness. I felt when she was where she was upset with my dad, and it it boiled, trickled down to us, and how it made me feel, and how I even till this day am like learning to release that. So I'm careful not to inherit that, like all of those negative things that she may have been experiencing because she didn't seek out a tribe, because she didn't have the sister to say like this doesn't feel good. So you know, she just sat with it like so many moms and women do, because you think you're supposed to be committed to your family, you know, dynamic. But the truth is like the release of that is so healing for your kids, because when you're trying to work through it alone, it oftentimes doesn't get resolved
alone. You cannot work alone. It's particularly for women. We work in circles. We work in as a collective energy. When we feel isolated, that's when we hurt. We have to seek each other out. And when I first sat with you and you said how you did seek, there was a seeking. There was a yearning. And you said, okay, so now we're together. Now what we're going to do? So life is going to just show up. But you have to call on help. And you cannot feel like, oh, nobody's there. Don't affirm it. You know, from yes, there's someone out here that is going through what I'm going through that can help me and to grow me. I can only imagine, because you've been doing this for 5 years, the beginning of the conversation and all the issues that were starting, and now you've grown through, and, you know, so much has happened to transform you. But I think it's just so wonderful that you did find each other and that you helped each other. And your daughters are going to be, you know, blessed because of that.
Thank you.
It's so wonderful.
I think about the circles, and I think about women, because we get this question a lot, is like, I don't have, affirming the I don't have anyone, or I don't have a tribe, or I don't have a Jamila or an Erica. And I think about you in the 60s and or the 70s, and and I think about the women now in this day and age. I feel like there are so many more opportunities and resources to actually find your circle now. We create a circle for women, whether it's the retreats, whether it's the meetups, whether it's really, and you have your own circles too. And really it's all of our circles. Yeah. And they're so easily accessible now, because you're sitting on your phone looking and scrolling through so many things, except not really looking and scrolling and trying to find your circle. And at this point in this day and age, you can find your circle on the internet.
You can find your circle without even trying to find your circle.
Like, there really is no reason except you getting in your way.
Yes.
And you thinking like, making excuses like, that's weird, I don't know them, or maybe like next time, or they don't look like my people, or like just making these agreements with yourself without really stepping out and trying something different. And that's really what it has to be. It has to be you getting uncomfortable and just saying, you know what, I'm just going to start, and I'm going to try it. Yeah. When I met Mila, like I would never go try to meet a friend that I saw on the internet that I knew was going to be at a bar. And that was my intention. Like, that was my only intention in going. In fact, I didn't have a lot of time because I was breastfeeding, and my mom, my daughter was like 3 months old, and my mom was like, where are you,
where
going?
You going?
Yeah, you're going
out. To a club to find a friend.
Yes. In a club, she was your daughter. So I was like, okay, I got to hurry up, because my mom is already judging me, and I don't want to hear
judge.
It. You know, but like, I felt called to do it.
That's right there. That intuition, when that intuition kicks in, that's God. That's the Most High talking to you and guide you, because the Most High hears your cry and your call and your need of you and your daughter. She was calling also. She needed a playmate.
She did.
On the same frequency. So you was able to listen. I have a little book called Impeccable Listening. And I said, well, and I was going to have a meeting with Laura London and Layla Delia. And I said, Most High, what am I going to give to them? And then I heard impeccable listening. I said, well, Most High, so what's impeccable? I have this conversation going on all the time. I said, so what's impeccable listening? Impeccable listening is listening to your intuition impeccably. And I started to reflect on that, because for me, that's going to save the world. And I said, when I did not listen impeccably, I went down the rabbit hole. And I had relationships that were toxic, and I didn't want to see them until they showed up all the way. okay, Most High, when you're back on the ground, on the floor, you say, okay, now how do I get up off this ground? The next time I ask a question, I'm going to listen impeccably. I'm not going to make it up. You know how you ask a question, but you're in your mind. You say, no, but I really don't want that. So let me go and put, okay. So impeccable listening to what I gave. And that has been my saving grace. Mm. But even though I did not listen impeccably, I'm so grateful because I wouldn't have had the children. So I'm glad I didn't listen because I do love my children who are adult people. And so that's why just take your whole life and just embrace it and say, this is my consciousness. This is where I was. This is where I am. No regrets. It's all lessons. And I always say every lesson is a blessing, so embrace the lesson. That allows me to continue to dance and to sing and to spin in my kitchen and to be myself. Mm. Because what ages women is the regrets. Mm. That makes you old and broken and worn. Mm. That gives you the high blood pressure. That gives you the breast cancer. That gives you the fibroids. All of that accumulation of all the relationships that disappointed you. So I said, clean house. Mm. Forgive everyone.
That forgiveness, you're right.
That forgiveness.
That resentment, that anger that builds up because so-and-so took your time and did this.
Yeah.
I've seen that, like, fester and how, like, ugly that can become. And, like, even thinking about, like, you know, talking about, like, your tribe and impeccable listening and listening to yourself and, like, women having a hard time reaching out to other women. I realized that when during the women's retreats, everyone is, like, kind of on guard in ways because we've kind of learned that, too. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times I feel like women don't trust women because truly they don't trust themselves.
Yeah. The mother-daughter relationship, whatever happened, grandmother, mother, auntie, they're just relationships that you recycle. So in the room, it could be women in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, but in the room, they're 7 years old, 5 years old, 6 years old. And you could, when your eye opens, you can actually see that age.
Where they actually are.
They are carrying that into every relationship. So when you were bullied or someone made you feel small or you wasn't so-called pretty enough or talked about your hair or talked about your complaint, all that stuff, you grow up as a woman feeling not worthy. And so those relationships are really coming from all the childhood issues.
Because you haven't released that pain
and
that anger.
Let all that go because that's what sickness comes from. That's all the disease is coming from, the buildup of unresolved issues that create the men in our lives.
Mm. Oh, because then we attract men that's the circumstances and the messages that we've heard that are probably aren't true, but we haven't listened to ourselves to release them. I read in your, or maybe I listened in an interview that you were saying that, you know, with your kid's father, is that you recognize that you guys would make each other sick if you stayed. And so what was that process for you? I know a lot of women, I mean, like my mom, for instance, stayed in a marriage and a relationship for so long. Like, I think she lost herself in a lot of ways. And it's now, you know, trying to pick up the pieces and the same, when I got a certain age, I'm like, oh, my mom's like a little girl. You know, my mom met my dad when she was 14, and sometimes I see her that
she
age.
Matured.
You know, like, she'll call me, like, where should I go? What should I do? Yeah. I'm like, girl. But I remember, like, the roles will always, you know, I'll hold her, she'll hold me, but I think a lot of women have a hard time listening to their own voice because we've been taught to, you know, like, not that we're not supposed to follow our men or take leadership, but when we choose the men that are not worthy of being followed, it can confuse you and confuse your own voice. So, like, during that time, having three kids, deciding to make that choice, what was that process for you?
I said to myself, I remember where I was. I was right in Brooklyn on Flatbush Avenue. And I said, if I stay in this relationship, it was a violent relationship, I might destroy my children may not have any hope. So I can stay in the relationship because growing up, you're supposed to stay together, right? No matter what, keep the family together. But if I go, I might make it. They might make it. If I stay, I might die in this relationship fully. And then what will they have? They'll have a dead mother spiritually.
Spiritually.
Spiritually, emotionally, psychologically. And then how will they grow as human beings? And I knew it was going to be hard if I left for them. not having the father in the house. I knew it was going to be difficult, but I knew it would be worse. I had to make a choice if I stayed. And then my daughter at 3 years old, I can't believe I listened to a three-year-old.
But
I trusted what she said. She knew. It was a violent moment. And she said, Mom, let's go to grandmother's house. And I had that shoulder that you just did.
Okay,
and now. I said, okay. This time you have a three-year-old said, let's go to make it a choice for us.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay. Because what happens if I would have stayed and that kept going, the voice, the attitude, the hands, of this, I might have just wiped her out fully. You know, over time, her love and all of that you know, it grew. And because I never talked negative about their father, no matter what. I didn't bring all my stuff in it,
mm-hmm.
you know. And that helped them because they had to make their own choices mm-hmm. about life. That was our relationship. But that was that crossroads, and I don't regret it. I'm grateful that I had the strength to take it on. And it was not an easy journey. You know, I went, my story makes me want to cry, but I'm so happy that I'm still joyous and I'm at peace in my soul. The relationships are all my lessons. So that was a huge lesson of growing up and developing and being mature and not relying on someone to take care of all my needs. So that's part of how I became a businesswoman.
You had to. You're like, well,
I
now
have to
what?
Take care of his children.
That is a profound statement. If I did not stay, I would die and
well,
not
I'd be a dead mother.
A dead mother.
I think about all the dead mothers walking the earth right now.
Yeah. My mom was dead for a long period of my growing up. And when you said that shit struck me because I never thought about it in that way. And that is true, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, I had a conversation with my mom when I was six. I was like maybe five or six. And I was like, you're not happy. Like, why don't you leave? I remember the same exactly where I was at, what house we were at,
yes.
looking across from her. And like, she didn't listen. And, you know, and years passed. And like, she's still dealing with that anger and dealing with that hurt. But that was also the motivation for me when I got in a relationship that was abusive and difficult. And I saw the makings of the family dynamic in which I grew up in. And I was like, oh, hell no. Like, this is not. I will be dead. I will. Mm-hmm. I started to feel numb. Mm-hmm. Like, I wasn't myself anymore. My friends, I could tell, couldn't recognize me. I couldn't recognize myself. But I think it's really powerful for our listeners, for us, to hear you say that, because I think a lot of times as women, you know, we know that we're strong, but it feels weak to be like, you know, you don't think, when you think of Queen Afua, you're like, she would be in such a relationship and with an abusive person. That could never.
It was Helen Robinson before Queen Afua. I grew into that reality, and that took a lot of growing up in it. When I accepted Queen, I said, that's a little too much. People are not going to like me. And I accepted it because I felt I was representing us. And I have to sit up on my seat of power. And then when I accepted Afua, born on Friday, which is Day of Love in Venus. And I do love myself, my community, my people, my family. So I know that everything was in divine order. And so there's a shame that comes with it. And women don't want to say anything. Or they want to dress up and look pretty and look lovely as if they're not getting jacked up at home. And then that's a part of the death. Mm. You know, so the true you never is born. Mm. But also it's really, because there's no blame. It's what you go into the relationship with becomes the relationship. Mm. So my insecurities, my fears, my doubts, all of my energies and attitudes connected to this being, you know. And we started off really great. Vegetarian, oh, that's hot. Okay, I was power walking in Brooklyn and jogging, and I knew he was going to kind of try to rap to me. You could always, you know, in tune. So he came around. He said, hi, how you doing? Happy Sunday. I said, oh, happy Sunday to you. You're jogging, and he was in a jazz, and I was in a jazz. And so it was a lovely frame of great possibilities. But inside of that, there's still your insecurities, your fears, your doubts. Or am I pretty enough? I'm just so happy and so grateful for this relationship with that. All that's coming in. So that's what we have to really get to ourselves and help our daughters.
Mm.
and talk to them young. See yourself and talk to them now, because otherwise they're going to fall into the same traps. Mm-hmm. And you're going to say, wait a minute.
How did this happen?
How did that happen, my daughter? I didn't tell her that. I didn't have that conversation. She never even saw that. But if you don't clear that up inside yourself, it will be passed down from mother to daughter, grandmother, and so on.
I mean, I think about the frame and how many women and men enter relationships based on the frame. Just this frame.
That frame. Oh, he looks so fine.
That frame.
You know,
yes.
He's got the money and he's got the
car.
He
likes me.
Oh, great. Woo.
It's got to be a little bit more than that.
But sometimes it's not, you know? And that's where the death begins.
Well, because people, you know what? Women, men, we're seeking validation if we haven't sought it out to validate ourselves. We're seeking someone to tell us we're beautiful. We're seeking someone to tell us, you're so worthy. I want to be with you. I love you. You know what I mean? And then that feels so good, because a lot of times we haven't validated ourselves. We haven't really, really loved ourselves. And I find that a lot of us say, of course I love myself. I know I'm fine. I'm the bomb. I respect myself. But then our actions show up and it's not that. And I had to like really crack myself open and be like, girl, you lying. That is a lie, because this don't add up, you know. So a lot of times it's like we all it's in our human nature to want to feel needed and want to feel loved, and if we haven't addressed that like void in ourselves, we will seek out whomever, even if it's the basic framework, to fill our cups. And like it's never enough if it's not first filled by you.
Well, one of the things that's missing, that's why the book Sacred Woman, I believe, is an answer to so many levels and so many calls. Because what's missing is a guide to grow into yourself. Stolen people stole our culture, our language, our land, our home, our medicine, our way. And that's from the beginning of time to all throughout Africa when we were stolen those 400 years. That had a devastating impact on us, and we're still trying to recover. So many of our men, their rites of passage is in prison. So many of our sisters, their rites of passage is on the pole dancing. You know, we have different things that have happened that have us in these situations that we need to start healing. So the rites of passage is a way that we can begin to find our way home to ourselves. And that there's a healing affirmation that our ancestors gave to us. It says, we are the women who lighten the darkness.
We are the women who lighten the darkness.
We have come to lighten the darkness.
We have come to lighten the darkness.
It is lightened.
It is lightened.
We have overcome the destroyers.
We have overcome the destroyers.
We are there for those who weep, who hide their faces.
We are there for those who weep and hide their faces.
Who sunk down. They looked upon us then. Beginning of time. We are the women. We are the healers.
We are the women.
We are the women. We are the healers. So if we could take time to really go inside our hearts and our minds and our spirit and our blood and our womb, all of the healing that from gateway to gateway, we would discover the true beauty, and that would radiate. And then we won't have to look for the man. He would seek us out. And we would be patient, because we know that we're ageless and we're beautiful, and that we're the original paradigm of the beauty of what a woman is, so that we can now hold on to our grace and our beauty, and then he will come, the right one will come. But he also needs his rites of passage. Many of our men, they have not been poured into love and nurturing, and you know, so what do we do with that? They need to heal. So we have a program for the women, which is Sacred Woman Rites of Passage, and we also have it for the men, which is Man Heal Thyself Wellness Warriors. So by having a method and a way and a pathway, you can find your way home. And that will only inspire whatever your circle is. Like you have a circle, right? And another set of a circle. If we can have a unified circle, someone we can all drink from the well, from the water, from the ocean, that would then bring us together, because it's the divide and conquer. You know, women can't come together because they're divided with their mothers. Okay, women can't, men and women can't come together because the women are angry at their fathers. So how do we unify? We have to have a right, a way home, and a method that we can all live by, that we can agree with. And what I love, the Sacred Woman is a channel. You know, I just, like, I love the fact you had me to read the card. And I just was laughing because I felt so much of myself in the two of you. And that my work, because my work is circles. And those circles will answer the question. So what are you going through? It's in the circle. I say everything that you need is in the circle. Mm. Just seek. And if you seek, and even if the circle doesn't have that answer, by you asking, someone will come in that circle and they'll have what the circle needs. Mm-hmm. So you just have to know that everything that you need is right there. And just call on it and trust your intuition, which is a feminine principle of power.
Well, you know, there's a lot there that yes to all of that. B, I feel like I've always been guided by my intuition. However, I have not been impeccable with it in ways.
Oh, see, that's you have choice things that you listen to. Listen to this, but not quite.
Like,
that,
I don't like that. She must be wrong. She's tripping today. She's
let
tripping
me read
today.
That again. Let me just see
something real quick.
My womb is saying it's right.
I really, you know, at the end of last year, I went through something that really called me to say, Erica, you knew. You always know.
Okay.
Stop. And trust the voice. And then a voice came to me. Mm-hmm. I had this download and it was just like, this is what you must do. And don't betray me again.
Instructions.
You know, and I was like, okay, so I feel like I'm in this year, this next year of my life, I am like really listening to, like, I'm really, really listening closely and not letting my emotions guide my decisions to follow my intuition. Because I think too, there's a level of sometimes like where I feel like, oh, let me just be more, my intuition is telling me no, but I want to be compassionate here. So let me just see.
You could be compassionate and say, thank you, but so nice meeting you.
I realized that too. And, you know, also I think beginning to read The Sacred Woman, and it's really all about, you know, womb healing and healing the womb and how healing the womb, I mean, I don't know what it's all about, but I know that at its core, it's really very much about healing the womb and how that kind of heals everything else. Yes. And I was thinking too about my womb and me and Mila when we met, how I just had my child and how I had never been called to do something like this before, and how I feel like almost this, like, my womb called me to find someone else who was in the same space as me. Mm-hmm. And just how too, as women, like, and granted, we are all mothers in our own right. Some women give birth to other types of things, but we all have a womb. Mm-hmm. And it's such a gift, and it is like blessed and layered with so much intuition. It is our gift. It is our divine gift as women that we have. And so often we betray ourselves by not listening to it, by not nurturing it. And I was reading in the book, you have a sacred womb journal. Mm-hmm. And I was reading some of the questions. And I was like,
okay.
I'm gonna read some here because I was like, oh my God, am I ready to answer these questions? Like, this
it
is.
It may take a while.
Like, these are some questions that we always hope even like no one would ever ask us. And
let alone ask ourselves.
Like, one of them was, how many men and what type of men have entered your womb? And, you know, that's always like this taboo question. The women are like, don't ask me that shit. Like, how many of you? Like, you know, like, it's like,
it's a loaded question for women, but men are like, you know, it's not
because we are valued based on that number. I mean, at least in their eyes, it's all right. And in our eyes too, like, our value comes from that number. And that even thinking about that privately sometimes can be really scary for a woman. And like, the fact that you can't even face that, but you did the act is kind of wild.
You were left with some things. Mm. You were left with the psyche, the emotions. It's not all your emotions. You think it's, oh, this is just me. Wait a minute. No, that's not really me.
Right.
That's another entity that's still in the being. Mm-hmm. So you have to watch who you say yes to. Because they drop in their thoughts, their feelings, their hurt, their sadness, their joy, their pleasure, their pain, how they see women. And then you walk in it. It's in the veins. It's in the blood. It's in the womb of the heart, the womb of the mind. So you have to discern. Mm. And you have to ask Most High, guide my relationship. Show me. Because I obviously I don't know, because that's why I keep ending one. So you make the relationship. you create this for me, and I'll do the work to be of the frequency that I'm seeking so that I can really become one with that. Because the children, I had to think about what state of consciousness I was in conception even. Because the state of consciousness was the child that came into my womb, the soul, and housed, and then they came into the world. I learned compassion out of that with my children. I said, okay, I used to yell as a mother. I used to get upset. I used to be perfect, like, take your juices, do you? And I had the workshops to class. Did I tell you to sit down? Like, too strict, extreme. So I had to really look at myself and what I was thinking, what I was eating, what I was feeling in the conception, because it's the conception that creates the soul and how they move and walk in the world. So it's not just what you are carrying yourself and you have a baby. No, it's everything that you are and everything that you felt and everything that they felt, because it's really one spirit moving through you. So the information is in your child of where you were at that time.
That's kind of scary, because so scary. When I was pregnant, I think I went through, there was a period of a lot of joy, and then there was a period of a lot of fear, sadness of not having my mother's support of my pregnancy for the first few months of my pregnancy. My partner, his safety was in question, so I was always worried and concerned. Mm-hmm. And so there was a lot of fear. And I'm thinking about my daughter now, and she is amazing. We are different, though, obviously. I think as mothers, we start to realize that our children, we are just portals for them, and yes. They're not our mini-me's. But I think of the things that I carry during my pregnancy, and how they show up in her as a human now.
Yes.
And she is... she plays it safe. She is a by the book type of girl. And if you, good moms, bad choices, clearly we are not. Mm-hmm. So I think I am, I think that there's parts of me that are that way. But I know for me as a mom, it's been frustrating sometimes. I'm like, girl, we're parking in the red. She's like, oh my God, mom, we cannot park in the red. The police are going
to
come.
That's you.
I'm like, okay, that was that fear in the womb, huh? She does not like to break the rules. She needs to be on time. She has expectations, and I'm just like, okay. And thinking about that and what you just said, I'm like, it is so important. It is kind of scary, though. It kind of puts a lot of pressure on a mother too, to really try and be.
You have to, as zen as you can. A soul. But then also it's both sides. Like, my daughter moves slower than I do. I move fast. I sometimes will go into a brick wall, but I'm moving so quick. So I need to slow down. And so when she moves, I have to move into that rhythm. I have to practice. That's my lesson here. Mm. And then we talked about it, and she says, I need to, when you get a vision, you just move on it. And I need to start moving on it. So there is a give and a take, an ebb and a flow that is a dance between mother and daughter. Really special.
I think my lesson has been to not try to change and not try to make her feel bad for those things, and instead try to I guess just relate to her and accept it. And yes, I think we're still, she's only seven, so the ebbs and flow, we haven't got there yet.
Right.
But I mean, that's my hope. And if I ever have another child, I know that it would have to be a different experience. I'm so much more self-aware. Yeah.
Oh, well, the level of your consciousness is the level of your mate.
That's the truth shit.
So that's something you can say, okay, you know what? Not right now. Let me work on myself a little bit further. Because when you say, okay, this is it. Is it really it? Is there a few more things that you can clean up and put in order in your life? Because when you say yes, blop, you lock into that place of consciousness, and that's what you create in the relationship or the life that you carry, which is a continuation of the relationship. Mm. When you talk about womb wellness, well, Sacred Woman opened up the energy of the womb healing and the conversation with the womb. And the first time I heard the womb speak, and I call her she, because I want to have a close relationship, because we say down there, disconnected. I saw maybe 30 people that week for clients. Everybody was in a crisis. And I remember 4:15, it was 4:15 on a Friday. And I had a thump. My womb felt like dropped. I didn't know about a prolapsed uterus then. And I said, oh, wait a minute. Oh, my goodness. I didn't know what to do. And I began to kind of panic, like, I got to be able to take care of myself. I got to heal myself. I can't go outside of myself for someone to heal me. I've got to heal myself. So I went to my girlfriend, who was in my laboratory building my doing my product. And I said, Wahida, my womb feels like it just dropped out of me. She said, well, you're the healer. I don't know what to tell you. I said, well, okay. And that was the moment I said, what am I going to do? That's the question. What am I going to do? And I heard the inner voice. That was the loudest I ever heard the inner voice in the early days. It says, go upstairs now. Not okay. I'm not questioning because I'm desperate. I need a healing right now. And I know it has to come from within. And she said, go upstairs where I have a meditation room at the time in Brooklyn. And she said, now lay down. And now put your feet up against the wall. So it was like an angle, 45-degree angle. And now she said, put your hands on me. And then she said, now breathe life into us. And she began to talk to me. And then I relaxed. And time went. And then she gave me a formula. And I had to leave New York.
That was one of that was part of the formula.
That was a big formula, which I could have debated, but I wouldn't want to have hysterectomy if that was not in the cards. I'm not having it. So I said, oh, is that what I need to do? Okay, now my children, what am I going to do with that and the business? And I have 8 people employed, but I asked the creator, how do I do it? How do I heal me and keep everything else going? How do I heal me and take care of my children? How do I heal me and take care of my company? And I was given a formulation. And I did it for 6 months. Every month, I'd come back here, or back in New York, Brooklyn, and I would work to my clients. I'd get on that plane. 10 days later, it was like 9 months birthing. Get on the plane, go for 2 weeks, work in St. Croix. Come and I did that. And I had time to do a healing bath, and a sun bath, and take fresh pineapple. I was able to really go in. But in that time, I really finished that first chapter, which was womb healing. The voice of the womb, the journal of the womb, the conversation, the womb yoga dance. Everything was womb, 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 womb. I remember the husband at the time said, what do you think, everything is the womb? I said, yes, all of you came from out of us. Mm-hmm. So I'm listening to the womb talk, mm-hmm. and I'm being obedient. But then what happened over time, everyone cannot relate to sacred woman. It's so intense, right? But everyone knows they have a womb. And those whose wombs have been taken, a hysterectomy, they still have a womb. It's the womb of the mind for what we think, we birth, we create. It's the womb of the heart for what we feel, we birth, we create. And what we think and what we feel, it translates into the condition of our wombs. If we have endometriosis or fibroid tumors or cysts, it's really what's inside the heart, how we feel, relationships that were not resolved or healed up. So that brought me into womb care love, which is what I'm doing now. And I want to invite you both and every all of your listening audience to for the new year, new you, a womb care love holistic party.
Oh yeah.
So you come on and we're just gonna have a party. We're gonna celebrate our wombs. We're gonna have conversation with her. We're gonna do some healing movements. I'm gonna talk about the womb fruit julep and some things you could do in the kitchen and your healing baths and your love potions. And we're just gonna have 2 hours of talking and chatting and sharing some of our womb stories and mother-daughter stories about what was your birth story. Do you remember? Do you know? Did your mama talk to you about it? So we're just going to have a time where we have time to really reflect in a journal and to go deeper in our healing. So those who are on Sacred Woman, that's a big body of work, from the words as medicine to movement as medicine. That's in Sacred Woman. To your inner child as medicine, to your mates as medicine, to your business as medicine. These are all 12 gateways of medicine. But those say, look, I can't do all of that, but what I can do is I can focus on this fiber that's growing in me that I don't want to grow anymore, and I need to change some habits. So that's for all the women, you know. So that's where we have common ground.
It is. That's amazing to think about, too. I've never considered the womb outside of the like this womb, mm-hmm. like the womb of the heart and the womb of the mind.
Yes, yes, yes. Because what I always want to know, holistic, how does this all impact everything? How does my womb state impact my children if I'm healthy or not? And what am I birthing? Am I birthing a business? Am I birthing a new thought? I see the connection. Mm-hmm. The holistic, you saw, oh, it's a body, mind, and spiritual connection. Mm-hmm. So I would have to then say, what was in my heart at the time that I brought that mate into my life? What was I thinking that I brought that mate into my life? And according to my thoughts, when I started to actually map them and trace them, you know, you get up at between 4 and 6 in the morning, you can see things you could never see. The melon is pouring out. So I said, okay, now what was that relationship about? And what was I feeling during that time? Was you feeling lonely? Was you feeling frightened, scared? So you bring someone into your life to fill a void that is really for you to heal up. You have to heal yourself. And then to the frequency that you heal yourself, that is the mate that will come in. And that will be the relationship that is healthy or not healthy. So what are we birthing? Even in this minute when someone says, I just want a man. Okay, watch out.
You're going to get any man,
girl.
Be careful what you ask for.
Careful with that invitation.
Right. And so we do have to look at everything that we're birthing in our lives. It's coming from inside of us. It's coming from our mother's story. Some of it's our mother's story. And I remember there was a young lady, she was about 35. She called me and she says, I'm having womb pain every month and I'm scared about it. I have a cyst. I don't have a tumor. I have a cyst. So I said, well, tell me about the women in your family. She said, well, I have five aunts and all five of them had hysterectomies. Mm. Okay. My mother had a partial and my grandmother had a partial. I says, okay, so what are you eating? Dead food, junk food, fried food, fast food. What are your relationships like? Well, I have someone in my life, but I don't know if he's really my mate. So now we've got all that confusion going on. I says, okay, well, right now, the direction that you're going on now, you're going to be following your aunts. You have a choice. You can actually save your womb by taking time to heal yourself. Mm. And taking that time to heal yourself, you can change your whole story. And then you become the light of the family. Mm. Now, being the light of the family can be a problem for some. They're like, how come I'm different? You better be glad that you're the one.
You're the chosen one to change, make the change.
Come on. My daughter says this story. She says, when her girlfriends, eight of them is in the house, in and out of the house all the time, right? And they would laugh at me. They were teenagers. I have my bells on. I'm doing my dance. I have my salad in my pocketbook. You know, I'm doing me. I'm making them a smoothie with berries and fruits. And, oh, your mother is just over the top, all this. Right? I said, don't worry. I'll see them when they're 30s.
Right.
I'll see them.
They'll be back.
They'll be back. And I went about my life. I didn't feel no way about it. I laughed with them. And that's exactly what happened. They thought, well, can you tell me about this womb healing? And I'm having a little problem in the standard third. And it's just to have insight that your future is right now and that you have divine wisdom. When you clean the house, this wisdom kicks in. It is amazing what the Creator can do for our lives when we can actually clean up our house. This is the top of the year. Let's just do a deep cleaning.
I'm with it. I have been on the journey of that since at the end of December, and I want to continue this and not be a detox per se, but my lifestyle.
Yeah, to choose life and everything. Because
my body screams at me like when I am not in alignment with it in all ways, whether it's the food I'm eating, whether it's the company I'm keeping, whether it's whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it comes out in different ways. I can be impatient. I can be bitchy. Mm-hmm. I can stomach hurts all the time. Even as a child, my stomach always hurt. And my mom was like, why is your stomach always hurting? I was like, I don't know. Like, she always thought I was kidding. And I was like, no, I'm in pain. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of it was my diet. I couldn't figure out what my diet needed to be. And even now, like, I know when I have gone over the edge, I have done too much of this or too much of that, my body is like, bitch. I feel like a burn. It feels like fire in my body. I'm inflamed.
Inflamed, actually. I mean, that's what menopause is. Your body's inflamed. So you have 20, 30 years of being inflamed. So as you mature, the flames really go there. What you do now will create your future. So be wise with your wellness and listen to the body. And then you don't have to jump into it and just, okay, I'm going to do everything now. Just start to drink more water.
Yeah, and that's what I usually do. And so I've been much more patient with myself. And it feels better. I feel better doing it this way. And I'm just looking.
And your sister feels better. Because she said, see, when you change up and you get upset with us and tell us about us.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Relax.
I can be a tyrant.
Listen, you've been healthy
loving,
12
though,
minutes.
You just out of love.
You know what? It's like, it's when you listen to your body, when you listen to your mind, listen to your womb, when you listen to your intuition, which a lot of us, we lose that, that, you know, like you hear it, but you're like, eh. Mm-hmm. You like, you just write it off as a voice in your head. I've learned in this relationship when, you know, when she got the download to come to the club and we met in the bathroom and then I was like, I'm going. And then, you know, a couple of years later, she's like, let's start this podcast. And I didn't even really know what that was. And I didn't really care. I was like, okay, like I needed a friend. Mm-hmm. I needed to, like, you know, I didn't have that many black friends. I didn't have that many. I had no mom friends. And I was seeking that. I was like, I need someone who really understands me. But I've learned in this process, and I think Erica has too, is like, when I submitted to like whatever that was pushing me to be like, yeah, let's do this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The world opened up for me in ways. You know, we're sitting in our studio. I'm like, that. I didn't see that vision, but we took the first step.
Yes.
And it felt uncomfortable. It felt weird to just like turn on a mic and be like, no one's listening, but who cares? Or tell our business, or like, I've been dating and I slept with this person and I don't really like him, or, you know, just like really just pour out. Yeah. But when we made that decision and we followed our intuition in that way, like the universe literally just structured everything in our benefit. And a lot of times people really, I think, take for granted when you listen to your intuition, how everything else will fall into place, even like in your wildest dreams. And, you know, even I can imagine for you, like coming from going from Helen to Queen, you know, and like just taking that first step into listening to the download and to like making change. And it may not be overnight, but the universe, like spirit, also conspires in your benefit when you listen to your inner voice. And that's how you know, because that's the thing. Like when me and Erica started like birthing things, and I was like, oh my God,
I like
that. We just talked about
things.
That and now it's here. Oh my God, we just talked about maybe having a book and now it's here. Oh my God, we talked about having a retreat. And now when I see us birth those things, it gave me the like the foresight to understand my power as an individual and our power together. And it's like my life transformed so much just by making that one step, you know, and like allowing her to take me into this journey and be like, okay, you know, and just allowing God to like shift everything else and be the light for our families and for our community. And it's like, it really is like our bodies are connected with source, are connected with everything outside of us. Just like you said, when you heighten like your vibration, your sacred partnership will come. Your sacred friendships will come. Yes. Like all these things, it's like a light that radiates outside, like an alarm system, like beep, beep, beep. Sister, I'm over here. And it's true. And people take for granted like that inner voice. I remember I was living in Atlanta in college. Not much intention behind anything. And I was living in the West End, which is like a hippie black area. And I had never been around so many like free thinking black people because I grew up in the Valley. And I was like intrigued by that, by like women home birthing and like the conversations I was hearing. And this girl was like, yeah, I had a womb circle. And I was like, what is that? What are y'all doing over there? But when she said it, it like stuck with me. Mm. And at the time I was like, doing nothing intentional, sleeping around. And I remember I went in my phone to go like hit up some guy who knows who that was. And I got the loudest message from my womb. It was the first, and it was so loud. And it was like, chill out. Oh. Stop. And I was like,
it's like that.
I was like, oh my God, I didn't even know she could talk. What the hell is going on? And I didn't.
So good.
It was. It was so clear. I was like, yes. Boop, boop, boop. And they were like, okay. I'm tired. A bitch is tired. Okay. I was like, well, okay. Well, I guess I'm going to lay down. And it took me a long time to like really like hone in on that voice, like a very long time, because I heard it clearly, but I didn't put, you know, when you're in denial about how your actions have not maybe benefited you. I just remember that and thinking, damn, that's crazy. But just as I've evolved and even sitting here having this conversation with you, it's just like so full circle. But it's like those little things really do like manifest, whether you listen or you don't listen. And just like you were talking about, you know, like this situation that you like experienced not listening to your intuition. One thing about intuition is that mother jumper is going to show you.
Oh, yes.
And it might be in the case of a blow up where you have to, like, it might lay you down.
Yep.
It might hurt. It might feel like the end, but it's going to always shake you. So you remember, oh, okay, no, not that direction.
It's the result, actually. The intuition is not going to hurt you, but it's going to give you the information. It's what you do with that truth, that information, that will determine if you're going to be on the floor, under the bed, locked in a closet of your own heart. So when you hear it's called ask. You ask for the question. You want help often. Then you listen, and then you do. Many will ask, hear it, and don't do it.
Mm.
And that's when we go down the rabbit hole of pain.
That's when you're on the floor.
Suffering and regret on the floor, on the couch, calling your girlfriend up. I'm going through this all over again.
It's so funny that you're saying that, because the download that I had about my intuition was how do I honor myself in this scenario and get to the joy faster? Like, I don't want to add this to my list of this is why I don't trust niggas, you know? No, we're not doing that. We're not going to do that here. Okay. So how do I deal with this betrayal and honor myself and not allow this to, have me on the floor? That granted, I needed to go through my feels and my feelings, and I did. But I got to the joy so much faster this time.
Because you're listening more.
Because I listened, and she told me what I needed to do to get
and
there.
And you're doing it.
And I'm doing it, and I'm really am doing it. And it feels good, and that's why I haven't really been... I've been calling you. No.
You can.
I know, but I don't have that feeling. Like, there's moments where I'm sad and stuff. I went through a breakup. But I'm just like, okay, I know I'm good with my choice, and I'm good with how I'm handling this, and my boundaries are set, and they feel good to me, and I feel happy, and I can move through whatever I need to move through now. I'm not going to wallow in my sorrow and add this to my, like I said, my list of this is why, this is this way, and it feels so much better. And I'm like, oh.
Because you are better, because you're listening.
Thank you.
And you're trusting. And what you receive, you go for. Even if it looks crazy in the beginning, like, why would I do that to myself? Why would I fast? Why would I not eat today? And then you listen, oh my gosh, that's why I needed to elevate to actually hear the next message. I'm excited every day to wake up between 4 and 6. What's going to be the download today? It's like coming attractions. I'm going to get more information, more direction, more guidance, clarity. And so I'm finishing up a manuscript. And I said, it's going to be finished today by 7 o'clock. Most I said, and I have the editors are doing what they have to do, because I'm here right now and I've got to be right here. And the spirit has said, I have it. Don't worry. Don't feel you have to add one more line or one more page or any of that, because it's the Most High in us is always God. Mary, Mary, I love this song. God in me. When I play that song, I say, okay, yes, I need that, because we have this vast greatness inside of us. When we start to say yes to ourselves, our highest self, but you have to have a relationship. In the beginning, you don't have a healthy relationship. So you say yes to everybody else, yes to what everybody else wants you to do, yes to your past and all of that. But when you start to say, slow down, sit for a moment, meditate a bit, think before you move, ask before you go forward, you are having self-time. And self-care time, enough to hear, because it is frequency. The reason why we keep going through the same trauma is because our frequency is at the low level. The higher our frequency, the greater our inner hearing. The higher our frequency, the more that we can see from our ucha. And then it's magic. Tap into your supernatural magic. And that's the joy, that's the freedom, that's the agelessness. It's just a wonderful thing.
I want the agelessness.
You want the ageless?
I want the ageslessness,
well,
queen.
But you're we're living ageless. The life. We're you're living the life, so you don't have to be afraid of age. Otherwise, say, oh, I'm going to be 30. Okay, that's a problem. I'm going to be 40. That's a problem. I'm going to be 50 as well. I'm going to be 60. That's a problem. Listen, I'm going to be 70. It's not a problem. Okay? I'm not making it a problem. But the spirit said, no, you okay, you've been away from your womb yoga dance for a minute. Get on this yoga mat right now. I said, but I started to say, I was, wait a minute, catch yourself. When I started saying, what I, get on this yoga mat and straight. And when I started to do my movements, I said, oh, Most High, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Then you say in such a gratitude because your whole life, there's a song that came out in the 60s. You were not born. You were not even a thought at that time. The name of it is The Creator Has a Master Plan by Farrah Saunders. And that I heard when I was 16. And I would say, and I was in Brooklyn on St. John's and New York Avenue. And this is black, they called the black shop back then. You had the Cowrie Shells, Angela Davis, All Power to the People, the Dashikis, it's those little shops. And this Muslim brother would be outside and he would always be playing this music every single day. The Creator Has a Master Plan. And then when I just stood there and I said, let me go into this shop. They had a little frankincense and myrrh. Let me just stand here and pick up a little Cowrie Shell. You know, and I heard it went to my soul. That song has carried me from 16 up to 69. Mm-hmm. The Creator has a plan already mm-hmm. for your life. It's already in you. And when you start clearing the house and saying yes to the divine of your divineness, all of a sudden your life begins to work. And the things of your past begins to shed. Mm. So I've got to get younger with time at this point. But with wisdom. Mm. So you don't want to get older and have no wisdom. The wisdom comes with the age of having the trial and error, having the experiences that didn't work, that you overcame, that you learned from. That's the wisdom. You pay the price for that. So embrace the wisdom. And the wisdom is our intuition. So as you get older, you'll keep your beauty. You'll keep your grace. You'll maintain your peace as opposed to being angry with age, mad, regretful, vengeful, and nobody want to be around you, mm-hmm. right? So, not even your own self,
right?
And that's the pattern of dying away. First, the breast; they have a breast removed, then the ovary is removed, mm. and then a knee replacement, and a hip replacement, and you're you lose your mind, and you're looking out the window for your entertainment. Mm-hmm. You know, so we have a full life, live a full life every day. You know, and do your healing, and make it a way of life, and. You'll just continue to grow and grow and grow. And don't carry the weight of the relationships from the past. Mm. Say, I want to thank you. When I was closing out the last marriage, brilliant. Man, we've been 19 years. He supported me in writing a book, Sacred Woman. A great craftsman, a great soul, great teacher. And it was time for the relationship to close out. And I knew when it was because I grew up. When I was in a relationship, I was like a little girl. I was a grown little girl. And I needed to put someone to protect me until I learned how to protect myself. And then that relationship didn't really have the same purpose. But I remember when I was physically leaving out of the space of his studio, and I said goodbye, the Spirit said, go back and thank him. Mm. I said, you see that? Well, really? I went back and I just said, wow. I said, thank you. I'm saying thank you for the 19 years. The ups, the downs, the this, the that, whatever, it showed up. And I kissed him on his first eye. And then I parted. Because, you know, the thing about ending a relationship, end well. Because the relationship will follow you. Mm. Like bad dream.
I believe that. And
you know,
I believe that. And one of the things that I'm doing this year is releasing certain relationships that have been following me and that I've given power to. Okay. And I'm ready. I'm ready to really release that. And even thinking about, I just want to go back because it's been bothering me since I said it like 10 minutes ago. I said my break, we had broke up. I want to just say I am in transformation.
All right.
I am in transformation because that sounds so heartbreaking and it's not.
That breaking breaks your heart.
Yeah. And it's so not
breaks
that.
Your spirit.
I might have done breakups before because the aftermath of that, I did break. But this is not that. And it feels so much better.
You're graduating. Yeah. Oh. You're evolving.
We're choosing the words. That's some heko. Words of power, words of majesty, words as medicine. It's called heko. So you're saying, I grew. Mm-hmm. I evolved. You evolved. Like, you're not less because we separated. We're evolving. And so then the gratitude allows you to now continue to blossom. In Sacred Woman, it's about you're in the mud. That's Nefertum. In that mud is a lot of information. It's like clay. Clay is a medicine. But then you don't want to live and dwell in the mud. mm-hmm. you will now grow. So that's mm-hmm. when the fasting, the cleansing, the changing of the diet, the forgiveness, the love, and you start coming up through the water, you're purifying, and then at the top, and you finally blossom, you come to the top. This is the lotus, and this is our ancestral gift that was given to us. You open up. I'll say lotus, you say blossom, lotus.
Lotus.
Blossom. Uh-huh. I'll say lotus, you
oh,
say.
Blossom.
I'll say lotus, you say.
Blossom.
And that's what we do. So then any relationship that we're going through, wow, I blossomed because of that. Mm. I became a businesswoman out of the most stressful relationship, mm-hmm. a holistic business, because I had to heal myself. And I healed myself every single day. I'm still 53 years healing myself.
That's beautiful. I love
and
that.
And that's what that relationship did. It said, if you don't heal yourself, you're going to repeat the relationship again.
Mm. And people, I think, forget that. Like, yeah. you could date all different people, but if you haven't done the work on yourself, you'll continue to meet the same person with the same traits and the same toxic. It will may show up different in a different suit, but consistently you will see the same lower vibrational people. Mm-hmm. The relationship that you're talking about, is that the relationship with your kid's father? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you date or marry mm-hmm. or after that?
I've always stayed in relationship. I love a relationship.
Wait, actually, you know, this brings me to something, because I know we're going to get out of here soon because, hey, I'm hot. I don't know about you, but I'm hot.
It's light.
But we play a little game on our show with guests, and I would love to play it with you. It's called Trigger. And we're going to learn a little bit about Queen Afua really quickly. And maybe dive into a little bit of that. So the purpose of the game is I'm going to say a word. And then you say the first thing that comes to your mind. Don't overthink it.
I can't even get ready. I can't even prepare.
It might get a little spicy. I'm going to let you know. It might get a little spicy. Okay. Let you know now.
Okay. Let me get some water. Get my spirit ready. Ooh. I'm ready.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Religion.
Freedom.
Feminism.
Power.
Birth.
Now.
Motherhood.
You.
Love language.
Hugs.
Cannabis.
I don't do it.
Psychedelics.
This room.
That's what we're going for.
Black man.
Power.
White man.
Suppression.
Favorite food.
Grapes.
Guilty pleasure.
Popcorn.
Popcorn. Africa.
Home.
Porn.
Porn? I don't even have porn.
Mm-hmm. First thing that comes to mind. That's a good one.
Why is that? That's a whole thing I gotta think about. Why did I scream? Okay.
Open relationship.
With self.
Love.
Me.
Pussy.
Power.
Yoni.
Egg.
Afterlife.
Tomorrow.
Erykah Badu.
Daughter.
Death.
Let go.
Self-care.
Us.
Semen retention.
Oh, you know how to get me at different levels. But I've been celibate before. Why? I don't care. Remember all of that.
You remember.
I remember. Semen retention. Power.
Biggest accomplishment.
Writing. Having children.
Which.
Witch children?
No, witch. Just a witch.
The witch?
A witch.
A witch?
W-I-T-C-H.
Oh. Wish. What do I wish?
Witch.
No, witch. Like a witch. Like a witch doctor.
Witch. Oh. Witch. Oh. Medicine.
Pet peeve.
Pet peeve. I'm trying to find the words for it because it's social media. When women talk about you, you can't talk back.
Dating.
Rest.
Monogamy.
Ancient.
Polyamory.
Ancient.
Idol.
The Most High.
Bad choices.
Relationships.
Therapy.
Green juice.
That's it.
Wow! I survived you. Thank you.
You survived trigger.
No, the triggers. I have a thing about triggers. Because this is the generation of everyone has a trigger.
Everybody's triggered.
Right? Everyone's triggered. And I said, you know what a trigger is? A trigger is a gun. So if you say that you triggered me, that means you shot me. Mm. And then I've got to shoot you back. There's a point where you can heal up enough to you don't have any more triggers.
Nothing can bother you, so it feels like a womb. You're just...
Okay. Yeah, like that's your choice. That's your thinking. Cool. Yeah. Okay. You know what I've done with the trigger? And people, I didn't know I was doing it. There was something would say something, and this I would say, if it was a heavy drug, I said, okay.
Got it.
Got it. And that was me not being judgmental, just by saying, But people say, well, what does that mean? I said, well, you know, it's just, I'm just taking in information. Right. No judgment.
I feel that. Sometimes it's better to just say nothing. So at the beginning of our show, we asked Queen to pull a card.
Oh, wait, before we pull a card, do you have an affirmation for us today?
We recited it.
Oh, was that your affirmation?
Well, that was one of them. I have one more. Wait, real quick one.
Yeah.
This is one I've been saying for 17 years.
Okay.
Because of my granddaughter, Antoinette. She was 3 years old when it came through her to me. And that is, the power to heal is within me. And I have the mighty power to heal myself.
The power to heal is within me, and I have the mighty power to heal myself.
Heal myself.
And I put that to everything. No matter what it looks like, I can heal myself. I can overcome.
That's from your granddaughter?
Well, she was 3 years old, and the family was fighting around food around her. And she was crying inside. You know the inside cry? You could look at someone's face.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, come with me to my center. I said, sit down. Let's meditate. Now, she didn't know what I'm doing. Sit down. Cross her legs. I said, let's go in and let's breathe. And after her breathing and relaxing, because she was sad, I said, how do you feel now after a meditation? I don't remember what the meditation was, but she says, I feel powerful.
Oh.
And I said, the power to heal is within you. And you have the mighty power to heal yourself. And from that point on, I've been saying that affirmation every day to my clients.
That's beautiful. Yeah,
that's beautiful. Yeah, so,
yeah. And the three-year-old that women in your family.
I just realized that.
The three-year-old.
Numbers in you. Lloyd Strain, I'm going to talk to him about that. Wow. I mean, being with you all is an adventure. I feel like I've been up the mountain, down the valley, around the hill. Wow.
I'm glad. We like
it. Such a wonderful
mental workout, you know? Yeah. I see your workouts on Instagram. I know that movement is, I even in our school in Tantra, and I think in just the schools of spirituality, is movement is always at the center of it. You have to. And that's actually, that's when I got this download, too. I hadn't moved my body in a few days, and then I went into movement, and it was like, and that is why I've been honoring that movement since. I've not stopped moving every day. I'm committed, and this is a big commitment, but I feel like I can do it. Okay. And I have 365 days of movement, and whether that is a walk,
wow,
whether that is a stretch,
yes,
like it doesn't have to be a big thing.
Yeah, but
I know that I have to do that for myself to keep my intuition impeccable.
All right.
And to keep myself healthy and happy and you know, and feeling like grounded in my sacred womanness. So
you said sacred womanness?
Mm-hmm.
That's a t-shirt.
Sacred womanness. You might need to make that.
Okay.
Sacred womanness.
Oh, that's okay. That's it.
Hey! You can take it. You can take it.
Do you want to collaborate? We can make this happen. you know what? Even because we're in school and like the style of tantra that we're studying is Tibetan, an ancient Tibetan tantra.
Yes, yes, yes.
But our school is owned by a black woman from Detroit, actually.
Okay.
But the studies and what I've realized, like, we as people, we equate medicine so much with like these Western medicines of really drugs, narcotics. But the true medicine is all the things that we have access to right here. And it's like, it's the same, it's all the same principles. Even opening your book is movement, it's meditation, it's breath work.
Yes.
It's like, you know, movement, if it's whether it's dance, whether it's yoga. And I'm like, damn, you know, we are so confused about what medicine really is that we will take a foreign drug from a person we don't know because they're wearing a white coat versus taking the time to think, you know, sit down and, you know,
what does my body want? Is telling me. What
chant a mantra. That seems so crazy. Like if I'm like, Ram, if everybody would be like, what is wrong with her? You know what I mean?
Well, they do it in the church. I mean, it's always music. It's always accompanying our spiritual development. So definitely movement, even in the church. They are moving and rocking with the tambourine. It's so true. Through all of the spiritual practice and all the spiritual houses, there is movement. There is motion. But there's a movement without movement. And that is when you shift your thinking. That movement, even to do that, you know, shift your attitude, how you see life. That's a movement.
I will add that to my 365.
You will add that, and yes. You could do that.
I love that. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, before we started the show, we had you choose a card.
Okay.
So we'd like to wait till the end to read the card, and this card is the Star, and it means hope, faith, purpose, renewal, and spirituality. The Star card shows a naked woman kneeling at the edge of a small pool. She holds two containers of water, one in her left hand, the subconscious, and one in her right, the conscious. She pours the water out to nourish the earth and to continue the cycle of fertility, represented by the lush greenery around her. The other container pours the water onto dry land in five revolts, representing the five senses. The woman has one foot on the ground, representing her practical abilities and good common sense, and the other foot in the water, representing her intuition and inner resources, and listening to her inner voice. She is naked, representing her vulnerability and purity under the vastness, one large star, representing her core essence, and seven smaller stars, representing the chakras. Wow.
As every word.
Every word.
It never fails.
As the Star follows the Tower card in tarot, it comes as a welcome reprieve after a period of destruction and turmoil. You have endured many challenges and stripped yourself bare of any limiting beliefs that have previously held you back. You're realizing your core essence, who you are beneath all the layers. No matter what life throws your way, you know that you are always connected to the divine and pure loving energy. You hold a new sense of self, a new appreciation for the core of your being. The Star brings renewed hope and faith and a sense that you are truly blessed by the universe. You're entering a peaceful, loving phase in your life filled with calm energy, mental stability, and more in-depth understanding of both yourself and others around you. This is a time of significant personal growth and development as you now ready to receive the many blessings of the universe.
Did y'all give me the read of the day? All praises.
All praises. Oh, to the Most High.
Oh, wow. Thank you for that. Exactly where I am. I mean, I'm actually shifting sacred women as we speak. And I, for 14 days, I was asking for the channel. I said, Most High, guide me, show me, how is this to do? And this, a great awakening, I woke up at 6 in the morning, and I spoke to 5 women based on sacred women and the rites of passage. And so this is the time I go back to the 3-day retreat. And I haven't done a sacred woman retreat on that level since 2001. Mm. And so they'll come to wherever I am. In Atlanta will be. And then they'll go for the 12 weeks. But it will be different than it has been in the past. And it will allow me to have more contemplative time, meditative time. Because when I write and run. I'm running and writing. I'm, you know, everything is always, you know, clock, you know, like that. But I'm getting ready into a whole nother era of my reality, and I'm so grateful. And this, you are the opening of the way. I must say, I wanted to say it earlier. You're Ast and Nebit Head.
We're what?
Ast, the great mother, in you're a composite. That's why there's so much greatness that comes from the two of you, your pylons, literally, your gateways. Mm-hmm. Ast is the great mother, and she comes in and out according to who needs what. Nebit Head is her sacred sister helper of the spiritual realm. There's a story behind that, won't take the time, but inside of sacred, what makes sacred women work is because of Ast and Nebit Head. Sister to sister, on the same path, going in the same direction to heal themselves. and y'all coming together helps you to birth and surmount. So when I first sat down and said, y'all have a book? He said, well, it actually is coming out in the spring or the summer. So that birthing and you seeking each other, it's like thousands of years have come and gone and you found each other. Mm. And that's the spirit of Sacred Woman. And you and I put the book in my bag. Let me take the book with me. Like, it's like, here's the Bible.
We each got our own.
I want you to sign mine.
I will so have a book signing moment.
Oh, damn.
No,
it.
Don't worry. Don't worry. You're in LA.
Yeah, we're right around the corner.
Oh, child, I got stuff for you anyway. Okay. Don't worry about all that. I got some gifts for you. So I'm going to give you all, my spirit said, I'm going to give you all a Womb Care Love kit.
Thank you. Yes. And I really hope to join the Sacred Woman.
The love party.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. That's why you're going to give you the gift. Yeah. See there? You see? Our intuition is just bouncing off these angelic walls.
And it's beautiful. Yeah,
it is. It's so wonderful, you know. And that when I first came, I kept laughing. As I'm coming, I'm laughing, but trying to keep it cool because I felt my energy in your energy. I said, what kind of, Most High, this is something else. They're just like me. It looks different, but there's a part that I connect to in the two of you. And I'm just so ecstatic about it. That's why I had to get my daughter. I said, just feel the vibe. I don't know what you might pick up, but
hello, I'm here.
All right, we're here. You're here. We're all here together. That's the magic of life. Life is so magical and so mystical. It's not just pain and agony and doubt and fear. There's another level, and it's a frequency.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to give you all a 10-minute tune-up. In the next 7 days, I'm going to give you all a 10-minute tune-up, and I'm going to just read your frequency real quick, and I'm going to say, okay, now do this. Boom, bam, boom, boom, boom.
Oh, my God, what a gift.
I'm
grateful.
You just gave me the read of life. You said this, that, and the third. I said, oh, really? Oh, that's true. Oh, okay. I was confirming as you was talking. So I've got to give it back. You know, it's just, you know, when you're gifted, give a gift. You know, so we can all elevate together.
Keep giving. It's a circle. It's a constant circle of giving and receiving. And I'm so grateful for you coming down here and hanging out with us and chatting with us and giving us all your amazing advice and just spending time with us and holding space. I appreciate you.
Well, you're wise women. We do. Y'all are wise women.
Thank you.
And you're better together than apart. Thank you. No matter what you may go through in life, stay together and grow each other. Because you have the history, you have the stories, and you can remind each other, and you can support and help each other. And you've done it already because your circle is getting bigger, and others who have the same stories are coming in for the healing, for the and then the book is happening, you know. When you get to the book, that's a big feat. So much, you think you're working now? Oh my gosh, take that deep breath because it's going to be about to be so on even more. Just more is coming to you. More blessings are coming to you. And people will, you'll come into a town and there'll be hundreds and hundreds of women, not only because of social media, but because of the work that you've done. And they'll open up a page and they'll hear your story and they'll be transformed by you.
Thank you.
Thank you to the book, to the literary work.
Thank you.
Scribe work.
It's definitely you.
My little cancer bestie.
She's a cancer. And you? What are you?
Scorpio.
A Scorpio. Okay. All that water. Mm-hmm. Okay. So y'all are just bathing in the water. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Tonight's a full moon in Cancer. I'm going to prepare the baths for the whole family.
Oh, I love that.
Nice.
I'm going to do one too.
Ooh, prepare the whole bath for the whole family.
Everybody gets a bath.
Okay. All right. That's the great mother talking. Mm. Yeah. Mother Oz. And never fetch.
Thank you.
Queen, where can our people find you and on all your platforms and
all your discover detoxes, you? Yes. all your things?
Or just go to queenofood.com.
Okay. Keep it simple. That's it.
The whole world. And also, I'm going to be doing something this afternoon. I'm going to talk about you a little bit. Oh. It's wombcarelove.com. It's my first time really officially coming on the IG. Growing that baby up. My daughter said, well, Mama, why aren't you coming on the IG of Womb Care Love? I said, today's the day I have my face. Okay,
yeah, she got her Sephora beat.
Come on. And so I'm going to share this moment. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, opening the way for me to be here.
Anytime, please.
It's such a treat. Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, when I give you, that's what I'm going to do. When I give you your kit, your womb care love kit with your womb fruit julep, with your womb care love superfood, with your womb care love pink rose clay, and this, that, and the third, and I put all that in some little special gifts in there, I want y'all to open it up for everyone to see.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, absolutely.
And then take out your stuff.
Oh, girl, we're going to do the whole
look
unboxing.
What Queen gave us.
We're going to do a whole unboxing.
Unboxing is the word. Thank you.
No worries. I can't wait to say. Guess who I'm friends with? Look what she sent me. The Queen.
I actually told my daughter today, I said, I'm interviewing a queen today. She's like, a queen? Like a real queen? I was like, yep.
I know. Luna was like, can I wear pajamas to the office? I was like, no. The queen is coming.
Well, she said the princess is here. She's all princess. She's all girl.
Oh, my God. Well, you guys, I guess we're going to end it here. I love you guys.
You know where to find us on goodmoms_badchoices on Instagram, goodmomsbadchoices.com, because we got a website and shit. You guys go visit it. Join our newsletter. We are constantly launching new retreats. Please follow our retreat page at The Good Vibe Retreat. And join us. If this was your calling to say, I need to make a change, I need to say yes, I need to shift, join us on the next retreat. It's some beautiful women's circle work, womb healing going on in the jungles, and we would love to have you.
Yes, we're going to Mexico in July, and I cannot wait to share this new space with you guys. You know, me and Mila have only ever done our retreats in Costa Rica, so this is a new energy, a new space, and I'm really, really excited for these, for the first group to come. I always think about our OG Costa Rica group, and I'm really excited to meet the OG Mexico group.
Me too.
And I guess that's it.
Bye. Love you.
Bye.